Raised Rowdy.
All right, well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we're super happy to be here on the Raised Rowdy podcast for another episode with our boy Ryan Waters.
What's up, bros?
Welcome, Ryan Water Band.
The people don't get that, but we're chatting off the mic a little bit about people mispronouncing names. I said, as we picked up these bottles of water, I said, Ryan Water.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten everything. I've got Ron Walters.
Yeah.
You know, Ron Walters?
Water. I'm like, what?
You're like, what's going on?
You get it that wrong.
You want to scoot the mic just back towards you?
Get up on that mic.
There we go.
Get up on that mic.
Get up on there.
Well, dude, thanks so much for coming out. We were just chatting about you being at the old podcast studio, which was the extra bedroom at the house I lived at.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me, brother.
Dude, of course. Yeah, I'm super excited about the album coming out.
I am too. I'm ready for it to just be out
at
this point. It's like it's been a year, you know.
In the works.
Seems like it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
It's like you've been pregnant with it or something.
Exactly. Now it's just now coming.
That's super cool. Well, let's just kick into that first, and then we'll go backwards from there.
Okay.
So why don't we talk about the title of the record?
All right. All I've Ever Known.
Yeah.
You know, it actually started out as In the Mirror, which is a track on the album. And Zach, I think you've probably talked to Zach.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, dude, you know, When It Dawns, just a fantastic song. And there's a lyric in there that says, All I've Ever Known, and that kind of, you know, encapsulates the album. And I was like, you're kind of right, because all these songs are like all I've ever known.
Yeah.
So it kind of just, you know, it wrote itself.
Yeah.
So we come up with All I've Ever Known, and I think every freaking track is something that I've been through, so it's all I've ever known.
Yeah. I think it's a great collection of songs, too. We love your producer as well, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love, too, that, like, you have some of our OG homies on it, too, like Brian and Alex you co-wrote with, and just a great collection of work.
I'm glad that the actual track that we're pushing out as, you know, the main focus track is a track that I got to write with Brian and Alex. So that's going to be
sick.
It's to me, it's probably my favorite track on the album too.
Yeah.
So it was cool.
Why don't you talk about it and maybe even The Right?
You talking about the track When It Don't?
Yep.
Well, The Right was kind of last minute. You know how Brian is.
Yeah.
Brian rolls
he's always
up. He's like, what's
something
up, bro? You know? And he comes in, and me and Alex and Sean, you know, me and Sean were already sitting there, and we had this idea. We wanted to write like a cool, like kind of upbeat breakup song. We didn't really know what was going to hit. Mm-hmm. And Alex come in with some good ideas, as Alex does. And he had a few like melodies in his head, and we finally, you know, got to talking about this story about this guy that like has everything, and this guy that comes up to this guy that has everything, and he's like, you know, you got all this, like how do I get that, or how does it feel to have all that? And the guy just looks at him and like, I can't tell you what it feels like to have everything, or, you know, have everything go right for me, but I can tell you what it feels like when it don't. And then we were like, shit, that's pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up writing When It Don't, and I think it's just a killer track.
Yeah.
But as far as the story goes, there wasn't much to it. It was like, and sometimes I think those are the best writes, is the ones that you just kind of sit in the studio, you ponder three or four ideas, and then like it's just there. The song's there. I mean, you know, you hear stories about songs taking years to write, sometimes, you know, weeks, months to write, but some of the best songs are done in an hour, and that's kind of what this one was.
That's cool.
So,
yeah,
dude.
So what was the process like? I know you've been putting out music for a while and got to put out some like EPs and stuff like that. So what was that process like in terms of like you deciding you wanted to do a full record?
I think it was a lot of chaos.
Yeah.
I think it started out as, you know, I had just signed my first record deal with MBDN, and it was like, let's push out as many singles as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wait on an album. And we had already written like, you know, five or six songs, so we had an EP pretty much. And we had this whole idea we were going to do, you know, we had an artist that was, you know, every track that was coming out as a single had this artistry about it that kind of collectively come together as a set of puzzle pieces, which was ultimately going to be the album artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And each single was coming out, and I remember talking to Benji, and he's like, dude, I think you need to put a full-length album out. I think you're kind of at the point now where you need to think, you know, to shift focus and think album. And we had all these, you know, these good songs, but we wanted to have 10 or 12 songs. And I think I even contacted you about it. I had 8 at the time when we were going to release the official album, and I was like, there's just something that's missing. Like there was, to me, there was a really upbeat song, like a happy song, because shit, I'm a sad dude. Like I write about sad shit. So it was like, you know, I want something happy on it that maybe, you know, maybe represented me as a younger version of me.
Yeah.
And then we come up with Whiskey Talking.
Yeah.
And then I think I contacted you and I was like, dude, we need two more.
Yeah.
We need two more. And then you come through with Wasn't the Truck and freaking Back Way Back, which ended up just being killer songs.
Yeah. Dude, that's like one of the coolest things about me being in town is like getting to hear buddies' songs. Like if they're like, yo, listen to this one, it's sick, you know?
So you pitched Ryan some songs.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
It's just sick. Start a public company, dude. What are you doing?
Maybe one year. Yeah.
This is the year, dog.
Yeah.
And it was actually really difficult because I think you sent me like 25 songs. It was like 25, 30 songs. And I'm like, shit, there's some really good stuff here. Like, how do I narrow this down to two songs?
Yeah.
And I think at that time we had got Whiskey Talking and Whiskey on a Weekday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what's left? I don't have a reminiscent song. Way Back was that. And then Wasn't the Truck was like this song about the guy being wrong.
Yeah.
And I've been that guy before. I was like, fuck, that's the song. That song's so good. And then even, you know, Ryan singing it, I was like, damn, this is a killer song. Why isn't this like huge right now?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a no-brainer. Got to do that one.
Yeah.
So,
dude, follow your gut.
Yeah, dude, and that's exactly it. Like, there's so many amazing songs. I mean, just Nashville and all the people writing such great songs that like, either don't get the light of day and they never get cut, or even if they do, just don't get the day in the sun, you know? So it's like, it's cool to see that song getting some more life and getting other songs that are like ones that our buddies have gotten to write that are like finally getting to see the light of day. And I mean, an amazing voice like you have putting on it too. So
I think a guy that doesn't get a lot of credit is Alex.
Yeah.
Alex is on so many songs that were
Maxwell?
Even out of you sent me. And you know, it's like, dude is a killer writer.
Yeah.
And I knew that when I sat down with him and we were writing When It Don't, that I was like, this dude brings a lot to the table. Like he's a heavy hitter. And I think that having dudes like that, obviously you're gonna have a pretty damn good record when you have guys like that writing with you.
Yeah. And so, dude, he has like his lane that he's amazing at, but he can kind of write anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he has done a lot of production stuff too, so he kind of brings that into the writer's room, which I'm sure is like kind of how Sean does too, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you have, if you're used to producing, your ear's a little bit different, you know, like you have that side of it. So he's another guy that I think is incredibly talented.
Yeah, I think he hears things that you wouldn't normally hear.
Yeah.
Like he hears something that's not there yet.
Yeah.
And that's hard to find, is somebody that kind of just makes it up as he goes and it ends up being fantastic.
Yeah.
So I think that overall, like the you know, the lyricism of this album is just, it's pretty killer. I think it's up and down though. It's like you have this Whiskey Talking, which is this bar anthem that could probably be played in a club.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Bloodstream that makes you feel like there's demons in the room around us, you know, that just puts you in this headspace of like, holy shit, like I got to make either the right or the wrong decision here. What do I do?
And that's life.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think the thing that I'm most like proud of this album in particular about, I know it's my debut album, but the thing that makes me most excited about it is that it's like, it's pretty much everything that I've been through, whether it was a song that I had the privilege of writing on or not. Like, Wasn't the Truck, I've been a douchebag of a guy before, probably at one point in my life. I've been, you know, Back Way Back, I've reminisced about, I think we could all probably reminisce about going back and probably doing something different that we did wrong before.
1,000%.
And just, I remember like growing up, your parents probably told you the same thing, but like, you're going to miss this when it's gone, you know, slow down. And Back Way Back was that song for me. I think, I don't know, dude, you giving me, you know, coming through with those two songs were like the perfect.
Oh, bro.
Exclamation point on the album.
You know me, man. I'm just a lover of music. I'm happy to have songs that are great songs get the light of day, and an amazing voice like yours being on it's insane. You know, it's super cool.
It was weird too, because I was listening to, I think it was Back Way Back, and I don't know who the guy was that did the acoustic tape of it, but I was like, his voice is so high, and mine is so like in the basement.
Yeah.
And I think when you mesh them together though, it just sounds like the coolest country song now.
Yeah.
It's like, Did you get a chance? Have you got a chance to hear it yet?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, I got an early listen to the record, so I got to listen through.
Sick, dude.
Yep. We're going to do an album. We're actually going to premiere Wasn't the Truck, I think, too.
Awesome.
I mean, this will the podcast will be out after that. It already happened. But
yeah,
we're going to premiere that online for people to hear a little like a day before the record
drops,
sick.
Too. So. How does Ryan and them feel about that?
Dude, awesome. He's so excited.
Pretty stoked about it.
Thankful. Yeah.
Who's Ryan? Who's
Nelson.
Ryan? Oh, Ryan Nelson. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, him and McKinney wrote that.
Oh, shit. Okay. Because I hear Ryan and Matt, I'm like, I know a lot of Ryan's and Matt.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, so yeah. Ryan Nelson. Well, you said Maxwell. I kind of assumed it was Ryan Nelson. And
yeah.
And McKinney, of course, that whole crew. Gotcha.
Yep.
All right, I'm caught up.
That song was one that, like, I think I heard McKinney play it out first. And I was like, damn, that song just hit you in the chest, you know?
Yeah, and it was like, when I started singing it, I was like, because I ended up going in and kind of reworking verse two to be about, like, where I grew up at, like, a road where I grew up, or a pond that was, or a creek that was right down the road from the house, and it just fit perfectly. It was like, you know, there's some things that you end up coming across that, you know, it was just like, it was divine timing. Like, you got that right place, right time, you knew the right people.
Yeah.
And it was perfect timing, in my opinion. So,
yeah, super cool.
Really cool.
And man, and my thing too, like, when I'm listening to a song, it's like re-listenability, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I hear a song and I put it back on, and put it back on, and put it back on, I will do that often, just being the person that I am. But like that song, whatever it is about that, has that thing too.
And to me, and I don't know if you guys are like that, I'm sure there's people like this. To me, sometimes, you know, a lot of the times it's the lyrics. Obviously, that's the meat of the song. But sometimes it's a solo.
Yeah.
Like, I will sit there and listen to a solo over and over again, and it gets stuck in my head, and that's what draws me to the song.
Yep.
Back Way Back is one of those where it's like, oh, this solo is so good that I'm drawn into this song.
Guitar solo.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did this guy think of this right here? You know?
Yeah.
Do you remember who played on it?
I think on Back Way Back, it was a guy from the Netherlands. His name's Baggio.
Oh, okay. Well, I was not expecting that.
Yeah. There's that one. And then When It Don't was a guy here in town. What is Jason's last name? I know he's played lead for Dylan Carmichael.
Oh, okay. Yeah, long hair guy.
Yeah, long curly.
Ripper, dude. Yeah,
he
curly
is
hair.
So good. He thinks of some of the most off the wall solos, but they
great
end up being
too.
So good. But you got to hear that one after this. That solo is
dude, pull
ripping.
It up right now.
Yeah. I might need to send you Wi-Fi.
Yeah, sorry to throw a wrench in the whole thing.
No, you're good.
I have a question since we're doing this. What made you think to hit up Nick to pitch you some songs? That's pretty cool.
I don't really know. I knew he was really, like, obviously really connected in the scene.
You're good at
and I knew that
network.
Obviously.
Go to that network on your phone there.
Running the things that he run with, you know, the Writers' Rounds downtown that he was running. That he obviously knew people that wrote music.
Yeah.
You know.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest parts about what we get to do is just the amount of amazing songs that you get to hear. And sometimes you'll hear it one time, and that's the only time you hear it, you know?
That's it.
I know. I kind of, like, weep for some of those songs.
I know. But there's, like I remember, like, Dylan Marlowe, before he had a record deal and stuff, just hearing some of his songs that I was like, man, it's just so good and so catchy. And then he's like, man, I got, like, 100 better than that one now. And I was like, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah,
I don't
doubt it.
What is the song that I think Ella wrote on it? There was a song that he put out that I was like, damn, that's a good song. It was like, it had to have been last year.
Which one?
It was last year. I'll think of it in a second. It was a damn good song. It's kind of what, like, drew me to him.
Yeah. Dude, Dylan's a great writer. And, I mean, great artist, too.
Good guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's
yeah, we
from
had
Georgia,
him on the
isn't
pod.
He?
Yeah, he
from
is.
Georgia?
Yeah, we had him on the pod. I guess, right, that was our last episode of last year.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I know it was.
Yeah.
Let's see, how are we going to do this, guys?
Put up the microphone.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go.
I just, to sit here and appreciate a guitar solo, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, and it's not, Jason brings that element that's not necessarily just country. Like,
no,
he brings rock
rocker,
elements
dude.
In it,
yeah.
too. Dude. Here we go. Let's go into it a little bit. Of course, it's not going to go.
To write that part.
Just Dropbox. It might. I think this is the TV version, so it's not showing the lyrics. That's even better.
Hell yeah, like, it's like a Dan Huff kind of a thing, like 80s rock vibes.
Like, sick.
And when he
like,
sends
guitar harmonies for days,
and he's so like, he's so humble of a guy. He sends it over, and he's like, "Is that good?" And we're like, "Is that fucking good? Dude? Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you? It's perfect."
So cool,
bro. Growing up, I loved Nirvana so much, but I was like, I just love guitar solos so much too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Nirvana had guitar solos, but it's just play the melody. Nothing wrong with that, but. I love hearing that. And guitar harmonies are so cool. That rocks, dude.
Yes, dude.
Great tempo on it, too.
Well, that's like, Ryan is an artist. You're like a mix of country and rock, and there's even some a little bit of pop elements in there sometimes, you know, in some songs. It's cool.
That's what I think, and I think the record, I was actually talking about this yesterday, I think the record is like so, that's what makes me kind of different as an artist, is that you got some of this pop over here, then you got Shadow of the Doubt that's like... rock, and then you've got Bloodstream that's like this, what would you call Bloodstream?
I mean it's country, I'd say
it's country, but it's like really dark country,
it's
which is definitely in now.
Absolutely.
I mean that feeling is in. It's crazy to see, but over the years I feel like we're shifting into this thing where like dark and like, you know, people are like liking, you know, it sounds weird, but like people kind of like feeling bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the way a song that talks about how you really feel. You know, it's just one of those things.
Cathartic. Like it sometimes, like we talk about in country music often, like traditional country, it's like sad songs make you happy. Right. Cause like if you're going through something, knowing that someone else is going through something too helps.
Yeah.
Right. So like if music can unlock that for someone, it can hit them way heavier than the good timing songs. You know what I mean?
Well, one of the things I noticed, like Tucker Wetmore, for example, I think a lot of his music has like this sad message, but it feels happy.
It's packaged in a fun tempo.
Yeah, like Morgan does a lot of that stuff too. Morgan Wallen does a lot of that stuff where the song sounds super happy, but it's, you know, it could be about, you know, an awful breakup. I don't, you know, it's just so
like
everywhere.
Dealing with the life of celebrity, you know, he talks about a decent bit in some of his music, you know? It's like a weird thing.
I remember, like, Luke was, I play in Luke Combs' band. I don't know if you know that. Luke was like, man, I can't even, like, leave the house. Or we were on the Brantley cruise, and he was like, I can't leave this little, like, suite that he was in, like, because he would just get mobbed everywhere. This was, like, before Luke was who he is now. And I remember being like, oh, like, boo-hoo, like, wipe the tear away with a $100 bill kind of a thing, you know? But it's, like, being, if you're, like, that famous, it's, like, you can't do so much stuff.
Yeah.
It's, like, you can't go to the grocery store. That's why, like, Michael Jackson, like, rented a grocery store and paid actors to come in and just be regular people so we can just go shop and get the feeling of what it's like to go shopping.
Yeah.
That is
so interesting.
That is crazy, dude.
I think in Nashville, like, you don't have that kind of...
Not as hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of people. Like, if Wallen's out at the grocery store, he's going to get bugged. Right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But, like, Chris Young could go to the grocery store.
Why was I thinking of Chris Young, too?
Because he's around.
Yeah.
You know, you see him around.
Yeah.
And he'll get bothered, but it's not, like, every time.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's still... People be like, yo, I got a picture. Or, you know, shit like that. But, like, it's not like if you see a movie star and you're in Pittsburgh...
Yeah,
they're just getting mobbed, you know. But I mean, a guy like Luke, who is a face that you know nationally, whether you're a huge country music star or just maybe listen to it here or there on the radio, that is tough. And you lose, as you're talking about, like with Michael Jackson renting out a grocery store, you lose a little bit of like the regular thing. You forget what it's like.
That's got to be weird too. Like I'm thinking like. of how weird it is just for me, and I'm not anywhere close to that yet.
Have you had some weird instances?
Well, I've had people like obviously drive like 8 or 9 hours to come and see me, or when I was in Orlando, Florida, this was 2 months ago, I was playing a Tin Roof run in Orlando.
Classic.
And after the show, this family comes up to me and we're like, "We flew from Wales to see you."
What?
And I'm like, "UK Wales?" And they were like, "Yes, that Wales." Yeah. And I was like, "All the way to see me?" And they were like, "Yes." And stuff like that.
I'm glad you found out after the show, because it probably would have been in your head if you found out beforehand.
Like, oh, wow. I hope I don't suck. But it's like, it's still like, stuff like that baffles me. So I couldn't imagine, like, I hope I get there one day, but I still can't imagine like what that feels like to have to walk around and be like constantly kind of looking over your shoulder, like, who's gonna see me today?
Yeah,
you know, like, does he wear something different? You know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's weird.
And not to get like dark about it, but it's like, but if you're a female, then there's a whole nother thing of, you know, especially when you're like, you're doing great, but you don't have money to have like guards around on stuff like that.
Yeah,
celebrity is a double-sided edge for sure.
One of the really harsh realities of it is like, even me, and I imagine Luke or Morgan or anybody of that stature is on a totally different playing field, but like, even me, like on TikTok or something, I've had instances where fans have reached out to me and they're like, "I talked to you, you know,
oh boy,
for 3 months, blah 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 blah." Or I've even had this was the weirdest one. I had like a husband reach out to me and say that I was like messaging his wife, and I'm like, no I was not. Like, it's so weird, like there's so many like imposters and shit.
Yeah.
And like, I couldn't imagine,
it's only gonna get worse with this AI, dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's wild.
That is crazy. Like, have you ever seen a video on your social media where it sounds exactly like the person, looks like they're saying
like
it? That's
Rogan.
Just like, what is going on, dude?
Yeah,
that is wild.
Dude, and all these like dating apps are all gonna be AI and everything. It's gonna be weird. Not to dive into the AI thing right away, but like, yeah.
No, it's definitely weird. Even like, I run into people, and I remember I was at the Luke show in Cincy, and I had like a pass on, so I was like, someone probably thinks I'm important, you know, because Kurt had me out there as like his guest. And this girl's like, "Hey, can I get a picture with you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm not famous or anything. I'm like not with the band or anything." She's like, "I know who you are. You're Nick Tressler from Raise Rowdy." I was like, "Oh, fuck. All right, yeah, let's take a picture." You know, I was like, I thought she thought
Nick
I was like with the
famous,
band or something.
Nick
to,
is
to
famous.
One person in the stadium. But it was just like, it threw me off guard. You know what I mean? I was like, I thought she thought I was someone else. You know what I mean? I was like, "Oh, like, I'm not like, I'm no one. You know, like, I don't know who you think I am, but I'm not that person." Mm-hmm. She's like, "I know who you are." She's like, "I thought you were just being a dick." I'm like, "Oh no, I really didn't think you knew like who I was." I was like, "I'm happy to take a picture with you, whatever." You know, just weird.
There's some very brave people too.
Oh yeah.
After shows.
Yep.
You know, you get the, "Will you sign this? Will you sign this?" And then you get,
"Sign my baby."
Yeah. You get some weird stuff, dude. I mean, I could probably won't go into it on this podcast. Yeah,
no, this is the podcast going on.
Some weird
please.
Shit, dude. All right.
Yeah.
Well, playing a show at Lake of the Ozark in Missouri.
Uh-huh.
This would have been 2 years ago. And after the show, it was a really good crowd. I mean, it was a really cool place. I think everybody was high. I'm pretty sure everybody was toasted out there. After the show, we're packing up our equipment, and I've been over to the merch table. I've signed some hats. I've done like the normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'm helping my team pack shit up. And this woman comes up to me and she's like, "Will you sign my titties?" And I'm like, I mean, I wasn't dating anyone at the time. I was like,
okay, was
"Should weird. I? Should I?" And then here's the weird part though, is her husband comes up and he's like, "Sign her titties and then let me take a picture of y'all together with her showing her titties off."
Oh,
you're like, that might be a little too much.
Yeah,
that's like some cuckold fetish.
Oh,
shit.
It gets way darker, bro.
Oh no.
It gets way darker. So we're sitting there and I'm like, I'm pondering this, and I ask my guitarist Nate, I'm like, "Dude, what do I do here?" And he's like, "I don't think you should do it, but those are nice titties." anyways, we get a little further in the conversation. I'm just trying to talk,
yeah,
you know, to
nice.
Them and just trying to like kind of tone it down from where we're at. And he's like, So, dude, this was when things took a turn. They had already kind of taken a turn. But he goes, I want you to sign her titties so I can come on it later.
Whoa. I've never had that. That's wild, bro. That's wild.
And I said, I looked at Nate. I looked at my drummer Al at the time. I'm like, y'all got to get me the fuck out of here, dude. God, there's some weird shit happening
right now.
I'll
see you guys later. I hope you have a good night.
I'm out. But that is by far the weirdest shit I've ever experienced.
I mean, that would be weirder than anything I've experienced, so that makes sense.
And I'm like, wild. Where do people come up with this shit, you know?
They're just, yeah. There's a lot of people in the world, which means just statistically, there's a lot of weird motherfuckers in this world. Yeah.
I had a guy hand me, it was after a show, this was like, a million years ago, hand me a remote, like a little black remote, and it was like controlling a vibrator his girlfriend had on, and like, so I pushed the button, she was like,
oh,
wow,
yeah,
oh my god,
so wow.
I was like, what does this do? I was like, oh god,
yeah. That okay,
strange stuff,
yeah, and here I am like, oh, these girls have to deal with it. Well, you're dealing with weird shit on the road too,
yeah.
And I can only imagine if that happens, and I'm at this level, what happens at the next level and the next, like,
well, I will say
the weirdos
that
keep coming out.
All the weirdest shit I've ever seen is at the club level.
Yeah,
it's like, because that's when you're as close to the energy of the crowd. You know, it's like the
most
shows.
Accessible.
Yeah, because you're like, you can reach out and like, you're standing on like a subwoofer or whatever, and people are like, "We'll grab your boots and stuff," but you're close. It's like playing the Dusty, you know what I mean? It's like you can feel the energy of the crowd and it's awesome. But, you know, there's pros and cons of that too. But like when you're playing stadium shows, mm-hmm. I'm not close to the fans at all, really. There's like a photo pit and there's barricades and there's security. So it's like nothing, I don't get anyone like that, nothing weird like that ever happens.
I've had one instance where I thought my mother was about to like kill someone. I thought she was about to just go off and like really take somebody
out. Just one,
out.
That's good.
I'm playing a show. Obviously, both of you have been to Panama City.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know where Sharky's is?
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing a show at Sharky's. This is back when I was doing cover band stuff. I put my drink down on the stage, and I'm turning around, and I'm talking to my drummer. And this girl comes up, and she switches my drink out with another drink.
Oh, God.
And my mom's like, hell no, bitch. Hell no. I'm like, what is my mom doing? Like, when I turn around, she's then got up in this woman's face and like, no. Like, she had done... like put a drugged drink in front of me that looked exactly like mine and just left it there. And I had already picked it up at this point.
Oh my
And my
God.
Mom's like, no. So I put it back down and I ended up playing the next song. And she, after my set, you know, she ended up telling me what happened. And I was like, this shit happens to me, you know.
She called the cops, bro.
That's crazy. Well, the woman ends up like leaving immediately after that, of course. But it's like, I don't know if you've ever had anything like that happen to you. I've actually been playing a show before. And, you know, this guy bought a round of drinks from the bar, and the bar sent at this place I was playing shots up to me and my band, and something was in it, and it knocked me flat on my ass. And you got to think, if I'm 230 pounds, what that would do to like a 100-pound girl, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy,
Christ,
dude.
Bro.
Shit happens, and crazy shit.
I was at a show here in Nashville not too long after I moved,
mm-hmm.
and someone offered to buy me and my friend Heather beers, and I was like, no, I'm good. And Heather's like, I'll take one. And they were like, what do you want? And she was like, either this beer or this beer. Well, they brought back both of those two beers, and so she's like, dude, just drink one of these. And I was like, all right. Well, I was messed up for like 16 hours.
Off one drink.
Yeah, like I was like, and I'm a 250 plus male. Like, imagine if Heather had consumed that.
Oh, out. You know? I like a light.
Like, it would have been nuts.
I was down at, and shit, not to get too far off subject, but I was down at Garth's, like, the second weekend it opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out. My now drummer, he invited me to, I think his girlfriend was having, like, a album release party or something downtown. Mm-hmm. And me and my fiance, Caitlin, had, like, you know, we had a shot or two before we left the house of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
We were not anywhere near drunk, you know. Mm-hmm. We get
the motor running.
We get there, and we've Ubered down there, and we get there, and Oliver's like, let's do a round of shots. And we went and did this round of shots, and all I remember, dude, is me and her got into this. And I don't know if you've ever just gotten drunk and you just got into an argument just because you were drunk,
oh, yeah.
But we got into this knockdown, drag out argument. And like, I just remember like there was a, there's always a crowd of people in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
So we're walking down the middle of Broadway and like, I'm like losing her through the crowd. And she's like trying to call an Uber and we're arguing at this point. And it's like, what the hell? Like the next morning we're like, what the hell happened to us? Cause we had, you know, we had one drink when we got down there and we're like, we got that straight from the bartender. Like, and if that's happening, you know, it's happening, you know, at a lot of places. Like, I'm not saying it happened there. I'm not putting the blame on them. Somebody could have done it that was in our group trying to be funny or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
or
it's not funny. You know what I mean?
It, yeah, when it came over or something.
Because, like, it's a scary freaking world, dude. Like, and, like, especially now with all the, like, fentanyl and shit that's...
It's wild.
Like, I'm really... Like, I will not anymore, like, just take... Like, used to, like, when I play cover band shows and shit... And somebody bought me a drink, you know, out of respect, I'd be like, I got to take this with them or something, but I won't do it anymore. I won't, just to keep myself safe.
I mean, it's smart.
And when I started bartending, I remember, like, let's say that you're the customer and you're like, hey, I want a Jack and Coke. I would turn around, pour it, and make the drink and turn around. Like, when I first started, and my manager was like,
don't do that.
Make it in front, make sure they can see everything you're doing all the time. I'm like, duh.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing, man. Like, some people just like to see, they're not even trying to like take you home or do anything bad. They just want to see chaos.
They want to see something happen to you.
Yeah.
Like just, and actually I had played, this is the first time I ever experienced anything like this. I was doing a show down at a place, Miss Newbies in Panama City. They were actually doing, they held a competition every year for a while that like the winner went and opened Gulf Coast Jam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got down there, and this group had ordered me and my band, you know, some shots, and I didn't think anything about it. I had not had any drinks, and I had a shot of Fireball on stage, and we had already played our two songs. It was a three-song set, so we're going back up there because they had, like, intermission between each song, right? And my guitarist told me the next morning, he's like, do you know what happened last night? And I was like, no. What happened? He said, we had to like take you home. Like you had to go because you were rapping on stage. You were rapping in the mic and just over like your song.
I shouldn't even be laughing at this.
And I was like, no, I was not. And he was like, yeah, you were. And he's like, I think you got drugged. And I ended up at the time I was married to then, you know, a nurse. And she said, you know, I went and had a blood panel done, and of course it came back that I was roofied.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like somebody that I just entrusted collusion. just to give me a shot as like a, hey,
they didn't
you're
want
doing
you
a
to win
job.
The Gulf Coast Jam.
No, they damn sure didn't. And I damn sure did not.
Because of I shouldn't that. Be making jokes, but like, yeah.
But it's
damn,
like,
bro.
It's like you can't, you want to like, when you have a big heart and I feel like you do too. I don't know Kurt as well, but I feel like maybe you're two guys that do. I feel like when you do that, you like entrust this person that they've got your best interest in mind, when in reality they don't. So you gotta like, you gotta be like loving, but to, you know, there's gotta be a cutoff point there because you can't just trust everybody. I've learned that for sure.
Same. Yeah. As I've gotten older, it's like you see why you tighten up your circle. You know what I mean? And it's like, you realize the people that are good and the people that are okay and the people that you think might be bad. Right?
And there's a reason that your circle, I mean, there's probably a reason that your circle gets smaller as you get older because that's the people that you can trust the most, you know?
Yep.
And I think we've probably all had friends that were friends for like a couple years, even maybe 10 years. And then now you never talk to them again.
Like Red Door friends kind of thing or whatever.
Ever.
Yeah.
And I like, hell, I like Red Door. Red Door is like my spot in town. I love going to Red Door. But it's like you can get encapsulated in that environment and where you're going every night, you're spending all your money, all your time's being, you know, kind of not really wasted. You tell yourself this, oh, but I'm networking. But are you really? If you're just hammered the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I always say, I'm like, I always tell people this, and I've been the drunkest guy at Red Door before, but I'm like,
same.
I was like, you never want to be the drunkest guy at Red Door.
No.
Like, I was like, you need, if you're out there and your idea is that you're networking, you should have a drink or two, you know? Now, if you want to go be the drunkest person at a bar, be it somewhere away from everyone that matters. $5, you know, like, mm-hmm. or do it at your house, you know, like whatever.
And those damn root beer float shots are dangerous.
They are.
Dangerous.
Deadly.
They're good, yeah. I remember, I'm like, Nick, it was like my birthday or something. I'm like, Nick, don't buy any more shots. And he's like, yes. I turn around, he's got two more root beer shots.
Yeah. That is the most gotcha. Nick shit I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it does be like that, but
it do be like that on them Red Door jobs.
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah,
but also, but just to maybe put a bookend on this roofie shit, it's like, but I don't want to let these fucking weirdos ruin my ability to have a good time. You know, yeah. I'd like to be able to, if I'm playing a gig, take a shot from someone.
Mm-hmm.
It just sucks, man. I don't know what the solution is, but I will say that sometimes someone has thrown like a fireball like on the stadium tour. Thing when it's like sealed and I'll just go and I could feel it and I just or one time someone threw it to Luke and he opened it and put it in my mouth while I was playing. You know, so it's like,
did you do that at SoFi? I think you did. I was there. I was,
oh cool,
I was behind, I was watching y'all backstage for at SoFi. That was a killer show, by
I think
way.
So it was one of these shows.
I think it was
year,
at SoFi.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a show, dude.
Thanks, man.
That was a hell of a show.
Which night did you go?
I was there. I think it was on Saturday night. It was like,
did you play the Whiskey Jam stage or
no? Yeah. Benji and Joel of Good Charlotte. That's my record label. They invited me out there.
Okay, and I know they're friends with Luke.
And we get there and they're like, all right, come on back. And then like it's 30 minutes later, it's showtime. That was a crazy ass experience. That was fun. And Luke makes the absolute fucking strongest Jameson I've ever fucking had in my life. Seriously, that was crazy. I remember I said, Caitlin, you want to try my drink? She was like, yeah. She was like, is this just whiskey?
Wait, Luke made you drink?
Yeah.
Like in the green room?
Yeah, he was like, here, man, I made you a drink. Gives me this, you know, red Solo cup and I'm drinking it. And I've already drank a pretty good bit at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nothing's wrong with this. I hand it to Caitlin. She's like,
"Well, Luke drinks Jack on stage, but we have Jameson in the bar cart." That was a Saturday night. So Luke has a green room. It's called the Still. It's like a mm-hmm. moonshine still. That's what they call it. And there's a bar cart in there, and there's music, and it's just a hang. And the LA hang, that's where SoFi is, right? LA.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cool group of people. It was just like all these different actors, and like Jimmy Butler was there, and that was that night, right?
I did have an absolutely hilarious story from that. You know, Christian McCaffrey walked in back there, and he's back there, and of course Caitlin's like just awing over his I guess now wife Olivia Goupil or whatever. He's like, she's like, oh my god, she's so pretty. And I go up to this dude and I've had and Benji's to my right, and we're walking up, and I say, Christian, what the fuck was that last year in fantasy, bro? And he starts dying laughing. It, like, it was just, that was, you know, Benji's like, so what did he do for you last year? He said, not shit. Towards the end.
You know, it's so funny. It's like, I feel like a lot of these football players, people just talk about fantasy before they talk about football.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because, like, that's the thing that's affecting your own life. It's funny.
They were talking about this, and I think if I would have had this shit when I was in college, I probably would have been in trouble too. But they're coming out with some kind of Netflix documentary, I believe, on like, you know, colleges and how much money like students are spending on fantasy football and fantasy sports in general.
Sports books. Yeah.
Like
it's an epidemic, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know in Tennessee, like there's certain, like you can't, I don't think you can bet on college sports in Tennessee, but you can bet on everything else. Everything else, I think.
I haven't spent $1. The only time I've ever bet on sports books is when we had a sports book sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like they give you $50 and I just put it in and lost it. And I never spent a dollar of my own money.
I think I'm probably putting in a total of $50 of my own money in sports books.
Same.
Mostly, I have like fantasy football. There's this like fantasy football website that like gives you like rankings and stuff and like helps you throughout the league.
Mm-hmm.
And if you signed up with a $50 deposit, it
like
gave
it
you
matched
like a
it.
Year of it free.
Yeah.
No, it gave you like
a year
this,
of
like
the
website.
Okay.
Free that like helped you be better at fantasy football. It'd give you like rankings and shit, you know? So I just signed up for it for that, you know? I was like, gotcha. Oh, for the year it's $100, or if I put $50 into this account, it gives me the $100 thing.
I have like a knack, like, you know, me and my buddies all obviously, like my uncle made like a freaking belt that the winner gets at the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
But I always end up picking the team. It's like everybody gets hurt on it.
Yeah.
everybody.
Don't pick any Dolphins players, please.
Yeah. Oh, no, geez. Everybody gets hurt.
Yeah, I've been playing it in a fantasy football league since I think it was 04 or 03. I had the first overall pick, and the first overall pick was Ricky Williams. So that tells you how long ago it was.
Sends up. That's awesome. That was before the internet. You had to do it on the newspaper.
Yeah, basically. I think number two was LaDainian Tomlinson. So like that kind of gives you the
we are
the time.
Way back.
Yeah.
Way
but
back.
But I'm still in that league, and most of the owners are the same. You know, yeah,
that's cool, man.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I love Luke has a league, and like with his buddies from home, and one the loser had to come out on stage and sing "Walking to Memphis," and that was fucking hilarious to hear these guys try to sing "Walking to Memphis." He bought him blue suede shoes and everything. And did you see? I saw Whiskey Jam post this thing about this cat. Like his punishment was to go to Jason Aldean's bar all day from like 10 a.m. to 4 a.m.
Yeah,
and every shot of Rumpelmintz took an hour off.
Yep.
I think he ended up being there 17 hours is what it ended up being.
So
fucking funny, man.
He obviously didn't take any shots of Rumpelmintz.
No, he did, but he's like, I'm done now. I'm just going to keep going because this place is sick.
Yeah. Well, like they were all making like a big deal about it too. So it was like he was kind of like a celebrity for the day there, you know?
I think Aldean bought him a drink or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. I've seen that same thing, but like I know Drew Parker in his league, it's 24 hours at a Waffle House. And each waffle you eat is an hour off.
That's wild.
Brutal, dude. I'd much rather have a shot of Rumpelmintz and sit and watch football all day than just be in a Waffle House by myself.
Exactly. At least that shot goes away after an hour. The waffle stays with you.
Because how many calories is a shot of Rumpelmintz? 125, probably?
Yeah.
And the waffle's probably 350?
Mm-hmm. I hate to say, but that's my favorite, dude.
I know, but you don't want to eat. It's great.
Oh, Rumpelmintz?
I love Rumpelmintz.
Oh, it's great.
They just taste like nostalgia to me because like, I remember drinking them when I was younger. You know?
You don't want
to
throw up Rumpelmintz, though.
Nah,
I don't want to throw up anything, really.
No. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Unless it's like roof and all. Get that out of my system.
Get that out of there.
You got to get it out.
I remember figuring out what alcohol you liked, and I tried to like rum. And then I destroyed Captain Morgan. I drank too much of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Tastes great, man. With Coke, it's like delicious. It's pretty good. You can't drink it anymore.
Can you mix Rumpelmintz with anything?
Yeah, I mean,
bad decisions.
Yeah. Those two are hand in hand. Yeah. No, what would you mix it with?
I bet a chocolate liqueur.
That's what I was about to say. Like something
like
chocolate martini or something. I don't know.
Yeah. The thing with Rumpelmintz is I don't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
The aftertaste is a little much, but that kind of like is the thing, you know? It's like, I will do a shot of Rumpelmintz. I don't care. Like, now Malort, have you had Malort from Chicago?
Yes.
That's like the Rumpelmintz dirty stepbrother. You know what I mean?
There was a place in North Carolina that we played at last year. I think we're playing with Chase Matthew last year in North Carolina. And they had a whole wall full of Polaroid pictures of people's faces after drinking Malort.
Oh, my God.
Our faces on the wall, and I'm just like, you know, after it, I'm like, what even is that? My buddy tried to describe the taste. He was like, it's like biting into a tree branch.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's very bitter. It's
It's definitely, like, licorice-y, but, like, in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
Let me tell a story. It's pretty funny. So in 2022, I think was when Luke won his first Entertainer of the Year award. And we had a CMA Awards or ACMs, whatever it was, after party at a bar. And Luke's manager rented it out. And it was open bar. Mm-hmm. And so we played the band. Luke stayed for the award ceremony. The band and the crew all had this bar reserved. And so we all went and had this open bar party and like, Flatland guys were there and everyone from Make Wake, and it was awesome. It was so much fun. All these beautiful people, all my friends were drinking, and Luke had won a bunch of awards. Well, then the last award is like the Entertainer of the Year. Luke wins it. The bar just goes fucking apeshit. All of us are screaming. We're so proud of him. He's great. Best boss ever. And I remember our rigger, Dave Target, was like, it's open bar. Let's just get pappy. And I was like, hell yeah. Well, you know, not the best idea because it's open, but it's not that open. Well, long story short, we ended up drinking this pappy, and then Luke's manager gets the bill, and it's like an extra $5,000 more, and he's like, what the hell happened? And then later on with the end of tour party, we're doing the end of tour photo. Cappy walks out on stage and is like, "Who here drank Pappy at the after, you know, after the ACMs or whatever?" And, you know, a bunch of us were like, and he's like, "All right, well, you guys are going to drink Cappy Van Winkle now." And he pulls out a bottle of Malort and pours a big fat shot for all of us. Oh, he goes, "Cheers, motherfuckers," and just makes us all drink it.
Was this your first time or no?
No, I had a bunch of times.
Was it anybody's first time?
Oh, yeah, a couple people.
But they were like, "No, never again."
So bad.
We always do like a pre-show shot, not like a full shot, like half shot probably. Mm-hmm. And we keep a bottle of Malort's in the bar cart just for shenanigans. And Tyler, our band leader, will sometimes he'll pour like the it's like the Russian roulette where one is Malort. So we all go, "All right, you know, let's get the show started." And we rip the shot and everyone looks around us, and then there's always one person goes.
Especially if you don't know it's coming. Like once you had Malort and you're like, "I'm going to do another Malort," you're like braced for how terrible it is. You know?
Yeah, well, Wilbur's Tavern in East, I think it's called Wilbur's Tavern. You can get a beer and a shot of Malort for $7. Like, it's pretty cheap.
Do you like picklebacks? You ever had
a
pickleback?
Yes, absolutely.
Love I do. Pickleback was good. I did have something. This was in Virginia. I had a pickleback for the first time. I thought it was really good. But then they gave me this beer.
Pickle
that,
beer?
That, no, it was like V8 juice. It was like tomato beer.
Really?
And I was like,
Clamato or something?
Yeah, I was like, "What is this shit?" Like, I could not drink it. Could not.
I like that PBR had a coffee beer. Yeah, I drank it at the Dusty Armadillo, dude.
Yeah, those were good.
Yeah.
They tasted beer? Like Yoo-Hoo almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds it really was like, good.
Honestly, like, it was like a coffee energy drink vibe, mm-hmm. you know? And it honestly tasted like Yoo-Hoo. They were pretty delicious.
That sounds delicious.
Midwest is fuck, dude.
Yeah. Put all the sweetness in there and deliciousness.
Yeah.
I think my favorite is like my go-to, like especially when I'm trying to, I guess if I'm trying to get shitty, is I love Jaeger.
Yeah.
Really?
I have a problem with Jaeger. I love Jaeger.
I had
and everybody around me is like, no.
I had not drank Jaeger.
What is it, 2005?
I had not drank Jaeger for years. But so we go to Tailgate and Tall Boys and we're like helping MC with that and stuff. Mm-hmm. And DJ Cliffy D is a Jaeger bomb guy.
Jaeger bomb.
So I'm like, "Bro, if you want me to do a Jaeger bomb with you, I will do a Jaeger bomb with you." And honestly, the Jaeger bomb, not bad.
It's good.
Yeah. Like there's something about the Red Bull mixed with the Jaeger that makes both of
makes
those things less crappy for me. Like I don't love Red Bull and I don't love Jaeger, but if you put them together, I'm like, "All right, not bad." Yeah. Plus that feels like nostalgia.
That's like drinking in college.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Well, me too, because probably like 2004-ish was when that was mm-hmm. like starting to pop.
And that was like when that Jaeger bomb video was like viral or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So you're still rocking the Jaeger.
Yes. I'm a big whiskey guy, too. I'm not. Caitlin is all, she's all tequila, 100%, mm-hmm. and I'm whiskey. Like, I like even collecting whiskey. Like
bourbons and.
Yeah, I think my favorite, I had Weller.
Yeah.
Okay, I had a Weller Antique 110 the other day, and I was like, "Damn, I don't know liquor could taste this good."
It's so smooth, dude.
Oh, it's delicious.
If you get the chance, try the Weller's CYPB.
Yeah, it's that the choose your own barrel or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
they have a bunch of Weller at Smoker's Abbey.
Really?
If you ever want to go have a cigar.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's so hard to find like full bottles of that stuff around here.
It is.
You can just drink a little bit at a time at the bar.
Yeah.
one of my worst memories, I was out in Los Angeles last year, and I went into this liquor store, and of course they had bottles of Weller on the top shelf. And I walk in, and I was like, "Hey, man, can I see that bottle up there? I want to see if it's the one that, because it was way up on the top shelf. I want to see if it's the right one." And he's like, "You can't afford that." That's what he says. He doesn't even like go to get it down. I'm like, "Get the fucking bottle down now, because yeah. now I'm gonna fucking buy it. I don't care if it's $3,000. Like yeah. I'm not going the hole for this shit. I'm gonna get it now." And he gets it down and he's like, "So do you want it?" I said, "Nope."
How much was it?
It was. I think it was like $1,200.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I was at. I have a similar story like that where it's like when someone tells you I can't do something, you just want to do it more. I was at. What's that? That spicy chicken. Place next. Oh, Bolton's.
Bolton's.
Mm-hmm. And I said, can I get a medium pulled pork? And, you know, it's like an older cat, like, rings me up and goes, okay, cool, I pay. And he's like, order fire, like, one mild pulled pork. And I said, excuse me, sir, I ordered medium. And he said, yeah, but you don't want medium, you want mild. I'm like, no, I do want medium. Like, I'm not, like, the best. I'm like, I can handle my spice. And he's like, okay. And so he gives me the sandwich, and I sat down with my tray, and the cash register was there, so he could see me, and I sat facing the cash register, not on purpose, just the way it happened. And I took one bite of the sandwich, and it was so fucking hot. It ruined me. But that guy was there, so I just swallowed it, and I ate the whole sandwich like a duck, and I didn't chew any of it. I just took a bite, swallowed.
Died afterwards.
Oh, I've never had a ring of fire in my entire life, and I haven't had since. But that one time, I had a rehearsal, I had to cancel it. I'm like, y'all, sorry. They're like, what? I'm like, I went to Bolton's. And they're like, okay, yeah, that
we
makes
get
sense.
It.
Yeah.
I felt the same way when I tried Prince's here in Nashville for the first time.
It's yeah. old school, dude.
Because yeah. Caitlin, like, can do any spice. She's like, let's try the double X hot. And I'm like,
get out of here.
I'm
that.
Like, the next one is triple X hot. That's the hot, you know, hottest you can go. And we get it. And we're thinking that it's like, it's X hot, double X hot, and triple X hot. And that's like, we didn't know that there was, you know, mild, hot, and then X hot, double X, you know, there's like five
yeah.
different phases.
Oh boy.
So we get it, and it's like, it's not, you know, you ever got wings and like there's wet rub and then there's dry rub. Like the chicken finger looks black. Like I get it and I'm like, is it burnt? What's going on here? And then she goes, no, it's just dry rub. I'm like, okay. I dip it in some ranch. I put it in my mouth. Eyes watering immediately. Like, ugh. Immediately. It was so hot, dude. And this is going to sound disgusting, but this is what I did.
I mean, this podcast is already there. So
it's so hot that I go into the kitchen and I put it under the faucet and I start like scraping the side of the chicken finger off so I could eat it.
I like, was under, like under running water?
Under running water.
I mean, you're not going to waste the chicken, right?
No, yeah. I wasn't. Like, I got all of, you know, the breading off, and it was still hot as hell, but I got through it at least.
That's wild.
Don't touch your eyes.
No. And I was like, I will get the absolute wimpiest one here next time. And even the wimpiest one there is pretty hot.
Yeah, I always get medium at Hattie B's, and I never did me wrong. But it's like, what? How do these restaurants, like, is there some scientific method to how they, sometimes I'll get, like, I'll get pad thai or some soup or something, and it's like they ask you out of five. I say three, and then every time I get three every time, and it's never the same. Mm-mm. Like we need to get like some sort of regulatory system
Scoble
around here.
Units.
Yeah,
that's what it's called.
And you think you're like a badass? I don't know if you've probably tried it before, the hot ones challenge where you do the 10.
No.
Well, it's not bad. It's really not as bad as the celebrities make it
seem.
Do
they sell like a packet of? So you could do it at home kind of thing? Or
I know that they sell some of them individually, like the Bomb is at like Publix. You can go and get it. And
that's
it's like the supposed to be one of the worst ones. It's really not that bad. It just has no taste. So it's just kind of blank taste.
Blank hot.
Yeah, blank hot. But
just burn.
But shit. Prince's, shout out to y'all. Y'all got some hot-ass chicken.
Well, if you go to Prince's and you get the double X, just make sure you get a bottle of Rumpelmans to wash it down.
Yes. Maybe pour it on beforehand.
And no rupees.
Yeah, it's true.
No.
Well, man, thanks for hopping on the pod with us, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's
been
a blessing.
We've been through some crazy shit in
yes.
the past 30 minutes, haven't we?
Yeah, it was chaos. But
yeah. Complete chaos.
Some of the best podcasts are like that, though, in my opinion.
Exactly. I find if you go in and you've got this, it never quite goes the way you want it to go. It always goes off somewhere. But I like it like that. Like, I was in one with a guy named Sam Mackey yesterday on, I think it's the Bear, Jay Cutler's podcast.
Yeah.
He was like, let's talk about hunting. I was like, fuck it, I'm in. You know, because he's this big burly dude. He's talking about hunting. And I'm like, I've got plenty of fucking stories on hunting. Let's go. I've got plenty of fucked up stories. We can all tell each other. We can sit here all day.
I know more about getting fucked up than hunting.
So. Yes. But, thank you guys for having me. It's been
of course,
a blast,
man.
As
Congrats
always.
On the record.
Yeah, I'm so excited
thank you.
For it to be out in the world, man.
Yeah, I got asked the other day. They're like, are you excited about your record coming out next week? I was like, fuck, it's next week? It's next Friday. It's crazy.
What's the date?
January the 17th.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it'll probably be out when this comes out maybe?
Yep.
Or? Okay.
Yep.
Well, congrats on the album release.
Thank you, man.
Dude, so happy for you. It's been great getting to know you. And honestly, that's why this conversation is a little bit of chaos, because like once you know someone,
you can talk about anything and everything.
Yeah,
then
it's like easier.
You know, the first time, I think the first time I did it with Matt, we were like, it was like a, you know, we went through a list of questions, and once you get to know somebody, it's way more easier, and it's a little bit more laid back and chillax, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather do a podcast like that than a series of 45 questions about, why did you write this part of the song?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
You're like, that was a year and a half ago. I don't remember.
Exactly.
We'll have you sign the Stick of Destiny.
Yeah.
But we won't do anything weird with it afterwards.
Awesome. Oh, man, what a mess. I love it. Well, brother, thank you so much, like I said, for being on. Super excited for the world to hear more of the Ryan Waters music.
Ryan Water Band.
Ryan Water.
Yeah. Ron Wilpert.
We got to get you your own brand of water.
And then I got told a long time ago, they were like, that's a pretty cool celebrity name, Ryan Waters.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? And then I saw something on Instagram the other day where they were like, you know what a cool fucking last name would be? Waters. And I'm like, why? Why?
I love the why.
Like good Alabama why.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talking about that guy that like, the preacher?
Why?
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 Yeah.
My dad's obsessed with that shit. And then the guy that's like, would you look at that? Just look at it.
Would you just look at it?
Yeah. Obsessed with it, dude. He's always sending me the fucking memes.
That's so great.
All right. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's get it.
All right.
We appreciate
later,
you,
Ryan.
Brother.
Love you, dog.
Love you, dog.
See ya. Happy New Year. God bless America.
Yeah.